All right, it is good to see you all this morning, and I would love for us to start our conversation with God this morning by recognizing that we are sinners, and He is our justifier of our sins. So if you guys can turn with me to our confession, prayer of confession, which is on D, and then if you all could stand as we confess to God who we are to Him. So if you will all confess with me, most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against Thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that You open up our hearts and our ears to hear from You today, that we can receive Your word and that Your word can put to death the old broken things in us and raise to life something new and beautiful. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys can be seated. Our first reading for today is Psalm chapter 113 on page 292. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks down, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of His people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Our second reading is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. First of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. This ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for revealing Yourself to us. Thank You for giving us Your word where You can make Yourself known, where we actually get to know our Creator. Lord, I ask that we can get to know You a little better today, that we can understand Your heart a little more today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God is creating us into a people of peace. Peacemakers. People who can live peaceful and quiet lives. That is His dream, His heart for us. That's who we are. And the first requirement for us to actually have peaceful lives, for us to be people of peace, is God wants us to talk with him. In the very first verse of this chapter, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." Paul is saying, God wants you guys to talk to him. He wants a relationship where we converse with our Creator. God's picking back up the conversation that was left off in the Garden of Eden. In the garden, when he created everything perfect, he wanted this life where Adam and Eve work the land with him. And then in the cool of the evening, they'd walk together in the garden and discuss the day. That the creatures would discuss their day with the Creator. And they'd be free to share their specific needs and desires, their hopes and dreams for the creation, and then celebrate everything that God had made and its goodness. This is the relationship that God is recreating in us. He's saying, hey, I want to talk to you guys. I want to know what's going on. I want to be involved in your daily lives. Bring me into the conversation. But our problem, the very first problem, is we have a communication breakdown with God. This is what happens with Adam and Eve in the garden. There's a communication breakdown. They hear the words of Satan in the garden, saying, hey, I think God's holding out on you, and I think there's more for you. And instead of bringing God into the conversation and saying, hey, God, your servant over here is saying some weird stuff. Can you come into this conversation? We want to invite you into this conversation to find out what's real. Instead, they're like, let's figure this out on our own real quick. Let's try to figure this out. Maybe God is holding out on us. All right, let's test it. Let's see. Let's see what's going on. And they try to work it out on their own without involving God. And they work it out. They eat the fruit. The glory of the Spirit leaves them, and they realize, oh, we're naked. And instead of running to God, they're like, let's fix this. We got to fix it. So what do? They sew fig leaves and make clothes for themselves. And then they hear God walking in the cool of the evening, and they hide. They hide. This is our base instinct. We do this all the time. We will break something, then try to fix it on our own. And if we can, we're like, huzzah, we fixed it. No one knew. It's like it didn't happen. That's like our dream scenario. But so often, it's way messier than we can imagine, and our fix is haphazard, and all you can do is hide from the person, hide yourself in hopes that they'd never find out. So my dad's laughing, and I want to use a story that he loved telling us growing up. So he spent a lot of time with his aunt and uncle and his cousins, and so he has Uncle Larry, Aunt Ruthie, and he spent a lot of time in their house. And Big Trouble in Little China had just come out, and so he and his cousins are running around the house wearing lampshades, fighting each other, and someone falls onto his aunt's coffee table, and it just goes whoop, legs bend the wrong direction, and it just tilts to the side. And then they're like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And so they just pick it, and they go, and it's just standing there, and they're like, okay, don't say anything. Don't do anything. It's fine. It's fine. No one has to know. And then, of course, later on, Aunt Ruthie's going through the house, cleaning. She's cleaning everything. She starts wiping down the coffee table and... Larry! Her shrill voice pierces the house. And Larry just comes in. He's like, yes? She goes, what happened to my coffee table? He goes, oh, I don't know. Maybe you should ask the boys. Where are the boys? Oh, they're hiding. They're hiding. This is our natural instinct. When something goes wrong, fix it. And if we don't fix it, hide and pretend like it didn't happen. And hope you never have to run into that person again. And that's just how you're going to live your life now. You see the person walking down Target, the aisle of Target, and you just are like, ah! And you tuck and roll. You become a gymnast, and you tuck and roll into the next aisle because you can't face them. You're like, just don't have that conversation. We can't fix it. Abort mission. But God's like, this is not the relationship I want with you guys. This is not the relationship I'm setting up with you. I'm not asking you guys to fix your messes. I'm asking you to bring them to me. This is what I want. This is my desire for you. Bring them to me. Invite me in. I mean, what would the story have been if after Adam and Eve ate the fruit, realized, oh no, we made a mistake, if they instead go to their Creator and say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. But instead, they do what we've all now been programmed to do. Well, Lord, if you hadn't given me this woman, everything would have been okay. Well, Lord, if you hadn't placed this snake in the garden, everything would have been fine and nothing would have been broken to begin with. And instead, we just accuse God and try to justify our own actions. This is not the relationship God has for us. He wants us to pray and talk with him. He wants us to share our hopes and dreams with him. He wants us to share our needs with him. He wants us to thank him for all the stuff that is going right in our lives. I love that Paul is like, make supplications, intercessions, prayers, thanksgivings for all people, including your government. And he just goes straight to the top level of where we try to solve our own problems. Pray for your rulers, your kings, your presidents, your governors. Pray for them. I want to be involved in these things. I want to hear what's going on and what you desire for this stuff. I want to be involved. Please include me. And of course, the instant question that has to bubble up in us is like, but what if they're bad? What if we don't like them? What if they need to go? Can we just pray, Lord, you just get rid of them? Do we have to pray for those people? They say like racist things and they tweet stupid stuff. Do we have to pray for them? And well, I'm going to say yeah, because you know who Paul's ruler was at this time? Nero. And you can say what you want to say about Trump, but he's at least not lighting the yard of the White House with the bodies of his enemies. Because that's what Nero is doing with all the Christians. Paul's saying, God wants to be included in the conversation even with the bad leaders. And he gives us bad leaders. You want to know why God allows bad leaders? I was praying with God about this because I'm like, why? Why do you allow bad leaders? Because he is killing, he's putting to death our natural wish and desire for our governments to save us. We have this innate tendency to look to them and go, man, if they were just good, if they were just better, my life would be so much easier. Man, if we just got the right guy in office, oh man, everything would be so great. Everything would be so perfect, and we'd actually finally have peace. God's going, no, I give peace. The authority and power that they have is something I've given them. Don't look to them. They will let you down. They do not listen to you like I listen to you. They do not care about you like I care about you. Look to me. Don't look to them. That's like super offensive. And I know it's offensive because I've had conversations with people that were getting on to me because last election I was pretty laissez-faire about the whole deal because I was like, I can't engage it because it only makes me angry. And they're like, yeah, you can't live like that. You gotta engage it. You gotta engage it. You gotta get into it. You gotta know who you're voting for. Look, I don't care who gets in office. All I care and all I know is Jesus is my king. And no matter who's in office, that doesn't change. I'm still gonna be praying to Jesus no matter who's in control. And instantly it was like, you can't live like that. How dare you? I was like, whoa. That wasn't me. It wasn't him. It wasn't him. There's no one in this room. Could have been Adam. But I realized, I was like, whoa. King Jesus is an offensive idea. That's an offensive idea. But this is the relationship God's calling us into. He says, I order and structure your lives. I can bring peace. The only hope your governments have for bringing peace is if I'm engaged in the conversation. I mean, this is literally what Paul was doing. When Paul's writing this letter to Timothy to read to his new church, he's in prison for preaching the gospel. And he keeps appealing his case up the government system because he wants to be before Nero. And he wants to actually tell Nero about Jesus. Why? Because he wants to bring God into the conversation at the highest level. He's gone to these little house churches, and he's telling his little house churches, God wants to have a relationship with you. And then if before every government official that he gets sent before, he's saying the same thing. We have a God who wants to know us, who wants to be involved in our lives and in how we structure things. And so pray for our leaders. Pray for them. And you can be honest. You're allowed to be honest and say, Lord, I don't fully understand what our leaders are doing right now. I don't agree with it. You can be honest. Be honest. God's not saying fake it. He's saying be honest. I want to know, but let me know. Don't try to fix it first. Let me know. Because I can turn the hearts of leaders. If we read the story, God does that all the time. God turns the hearts of government officials all the time. He's like, I can do that. Ask me. Pray about it. Lift them up. Include me in the conversation. I want to be a part of it. I care about you guys. I want to know about these things. We have a God who is encouraging us to admit when we can't do something. To admit when we've failed, when we've made mistakes, when we've hurt people. He's saying, come to me. Confess those things to me. What leader can we go and say, hey, I've committed a crime, and expect anything else but imprisonment? We have a God who's like, come and confess your sins to me, and I've already paid the price for them. And I will justify you and say, everything's good. I forgive you. We can go before him and not expect punishment, but expect new life, freedom. You want to know why prayer is so offensive right now? Why, like, we drive, there's like billboards that say, don't just pray about it. Do something. Why is prayer so offensive? Prayer is offensive because it's admitting that we can't do something about it. It's an admission of being powerless. That we, the world is so broken, there's nothing we can do to fix it. And so the only thing we can do is say, Lord, can you do something about it? Because we can't. We are in over our heads. We cannot do this. The Lord says, yeah. I will destroy this broken world, this broken system. I will recreate a new one. That's what I have for you. I'm going to lift off the anxiety of having to be the solution to the world's problems, to your job's problems, to your household's problems, to your neighbor's problems, to your personal problems. I'm lifting the anxiety from you, and I'm putting it on myself, on my son, on the cross. I'm saying, that's the solution, is death to the brokenness, to the broken systems, and I'm going to bring to life something new and something better. And that's what he's doing with us. So we have these three amazing photos up here. And we had Troy put them together for us. And we kind of knew what we were doing. But I think the Spirit knew better what was going on. And I was looking at the order of these three photos and the phrases on them and realized, wow, this is pretty awesome. This is the relationship God's calling us into, is in your mercy, hear our prayer. We have a God who, in his mercy, actually hears us. He doesn't have to. He just wants to. He hears us. And then he speaks to us. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to be the solution. Let me be God, and you just be a person. A creature. And I need you to hear me in this, because where we're headed looks a lot like death, and it's scary. But I need you to hear me in this, because where we're going, we will rise again new and be ushered into a perfect relationship with God, with the earth, with one another, and with ourselves. where we get to live out peaceful and quiet lives, and we can just be. That's the life that God, our Creator, is calling us into. It's a life that I desperately want. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you forgive us. I ask that you forgive us for the ways we constantly try to be the solution to our problems. Lord, forgive us. We do not deserve your mercy, but you listen to us and you give it to us. Lord, allow us to hear you say, "Be still and know that I am God." Allow us to hear you say, "I love you. I care about you. And I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to create something new, something better, something eternal that you're going to be a part of and enjoy." Lord, allow us to hear that in faith and rest in the peace of being a creature with a good creator, a forgiving creator. Allow us to rest in that peace today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the ways God invites us into a conversation, one of the things that he wants us to invite him into, is our finances. And so we're going to engage God in this conversation of our offerings, our tithes and offerings. So again, I just want you guys to remind you guys that you can also give online. But as we go through this time, invite God into your financial blessing or financial struggles. Invite him into it, either or. And just say, "Thank you, Lord, for everything you've given me. And Lord, I do need help in these areas. We got hit by a crazy thing this month. There was a new source of money that all of a sudden, like, oh no, we have to get rid of, we have to pay something that we didn't realize." Like, invite him into that conversation and say, "Lord, we just look to you." All right. So, Joe, help me. No, you're fine. I get it. Lord, we thank you for every good gift that you've given us. We recognize that it all comes from you. I ask, Lord, that you help us where we're struggling, that you be patient with us, and that you continue to work this faith in us that reminds us, oh yeah, I can turn to God. I can include God in this conversation. I don't have to figure this out on my own. That I can actually ask my Creator, "Hey, can you help me with this? Because I don't know what to do right now." Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Lord knows that we have trouble talking to him and listening to him. So he sent someone who can talk to him and can listen to him. He sent Jesus, our King, who remembers constantly to bring the Father in on the conversation, who leads us, his people, into this conversation and says, hey, even when you forget, I don't forget. And so he says, I'm going to offer up myself for you. And I'm going to include you in my conversations with the Father. So on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat of it. Likewise, he poured the wine and said, this is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink of it. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus there as a human is asking, making a very human request. He's saying, remember me. Don't forget about me. Because I remember you constantly when I'm talking to my Father. So remember me. So as we come up to the table, let's remember our King, who talks about us, each one of us by name, to our Creator. Lord, we thank you for this gift, the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of our King, who offers himself up freely to his people. That we have a leader who not only listens to us and knows us, but dies to be able to be with us, who sacrificed himself just to continue a conversation that was interrupted in the garden. Thank you, Lord, for this. Lord, help us to remember you in our daily life, that we are not alone, but we have a King who is actively involved in our lives. I ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, be seated. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.